are listening to the Devils Talking Padres podcast for East Village Times, coming to you from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Here are your hosts, Dominic Stern and Bobby Murphy.
Welcome to Devils Talking Padres. It's been a minute since Bobby and I were able to sit down and record together, as Bobby is still on the East Coast and I was out working this weekend. So we missed the recap of the Astros series and the preview of the Cubs series, but thankfully, I mean, we didn't have to talk about the series leading up to it, because the Padres got swept in Chicago. Second time getting swept this season. Both times have been swept by a team from the NL Central, and none of them were the two favorites to win the division. And in fact, the Padres swept the favorite to win that division. So kind of odd, but it's whatever. I mean, Padres baseball, we're all used to weirdness. Bobby, welcome back to Devils Talking Padres. Your first time on here in over a week. How are you doing? And, you know, what were your thoughts on this past series against the Cubs?
Dom, nice to be back as always. Sorry, I've been unavailable to all the listeners and to you, Dom. Just been very busy out here on the East Coast. I will be back in Arizona on Saturday. But, I mean, just to look at what I've missed, this four-game split against the Brewers, the 2-1 series win against the Astros, and then the three-game sweep loss against the Cubs. I mean, a lot of extra inning games there, Dom. Four straight, won three out of those four. So those were all exciting. But, I mean, this last series against the Cubs was really disappointing. The bats were definitely not on. The defense was not looking good. Saw some communication issues. The dugout morale did not look the best. But Padres are still sitting at 34-23. Not too worried. Still in second place ahead of the Dodgers. Once we get fully healthy, get Grisham back, get some other guys back. The lineup did not look good in this past series. The pitching didn't look great as well, but got to move past it. Got some tough series coming up with Mets, Cubs again, and then Mets again. So just got to, not the best series, but got to bounce back on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not panicking by any stretch of the imagination, but it was certainly tough. And, you know, 162-game season. This stuff's going to happen. You're going to run into tough stretches where the pitching staff isn't at full strength and they're worn down and they're going to struggle. And when the lineup doesn't, you know, help them out, you're going to lose games. And we saw the Padres lineup kind of bail them out in games 1 and 2 against Houston and in extra innings against Milwaukee. They just weren't able to do it against the Cubs in this past series. And you know what? That just happens. The Cubs bullpen, though, this is something that I was going to point out when we were going to do the preview, but we ultimately ended up not doing it, was that the Cubs bullpen has been, like, historically good this month of May and leading up to the series. Like, they have been unreal. They set the record for most consecutive scoreless innings out of a bullpen that was broke right before the series started, but then they came in and absolutely shut down the Padres. I believe they only allowed one run out of the bullpen against the Padres, and that was in game one. And they didn't exactly receive, like, long starts against the Padres either. So they were really good, and they're a hot team right now. They've won 9 of the last 10 games, so they're in first place. I'm not panicking at all. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not panicking either. As you said, it's, of course, a 162-game season, so I'm not going to worry about one series. I mean, doesn't look the best, but I'm not going to freak out over one series loss or sweep. I mean, last time we got swept, we were kind of freaking out about it because it was against the Brewers. We're going into a huge series against the Dodgers, and we somehow won 3 out of 4 there. So, I mean, I'm not worried right now. There's some things we got to fix, but it's a long season. Just got into June, so not even halfway there, but not going to worry too much. Just got to fix what's wrong, get the clubhouse together, and just get back to our winning ways.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. Let's break these games down one by one. The opener on Memorial Day was a hot game. The wind was blowing out at Wrigley and certainly played like a hitter-friendly ballpark. And the Cubs were able to take advantage of it. The Padres jumped out to a 1-0 lead in the second inning on a Willmeyer single, but then a home run barrage for the Cubs, as Javier Baez hit a 2-run home run in the third. Patrick Wisdom, who just killed the Padres all series, hit a solo shot in the fourth inning. And Chris Bryant hit a 2-run shot in the fifth inning. He's been off to a fantastic start this season. Fernando Tatis Jr. got the Padres back into the game with an opposite field home run. That put him in a tie for the home run lead which he, of course, is no longer in because he wasn't able to finish the second game and didn't play in the third game. And Patrick Wisdom hit another home run in the sixth inning. And then Javier Baez hit his second home run of the game in the seventh inning. Baez, he's having a pretty good season, one of the best of his career, obviously runner-up in the 2018 NL MVP, but he's slugging the ball at a really good rate right now. And tough loss, Bruce Paddock, 4 1/3, 5 innings, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. It wasn't great, but I mean, considering the atmosphere he was pitching in, I mean, Chris Paddock, most of his struggles so far in the past two seasons have been via the home run ball, and he got struck by it again. But like I said, I mean, pitching in this at Wrigley that day just sucked, and he got hit hard. So I'm not panicking about Paddock. Obviously, our listeners know how I feel about Paddock, but not a good start in his first bad start since coming back from COVID-19. But what were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the pitching, I mean, they weren't looking good. Paddock did not have his best start. He pretty much went through it, 4 1/3, 5 earned runs, 6 hits. 6 Ks, his stuff was looking good, but he was getting hit hard. I'm not going to worry about it too much either. I mean, Paxton at 2-4 this year. I mean, I've been like what I've seen from him. 4.24 ERA. It's not the best, of course, but he's had a few of that on some big starts. But, I mean, just the bats were not on this game. Only 6 hits. 2 runs, of course, we did see that. Fernando Tatis homer in the 6th. And then Will Myers singled in Tatis in the 2nd. So, nice thing Tatis score 2 runs. But we got to see some other guys step up. Didn't even get guys on base, really. 1 of 5 with guys with runners in scoring position. Just a lot of the guys struggled. Crony went 0 for 4. Caratini 0 for 3. I mean, Pham and Machado both going 1 for 4. That's not going to cut it for the top of our order right there. But, I mean, the bullpen didn't look that great either. Saw Tim Hill allow a run. Chris Matt allow a run. But just in general, just pitching wasn't on. Batting or hit, sorry, hitting wasn't on. And just this was just a tough game. I mean, Baez had a great game. Patrick Wisdom has been fun to watch. I didn't know much about him, of course, coming into the year, but he was amazing this series, and he really killed us at the plate.
Yep, tough game. And like I said, they're just swinging hot bats, and their bullpen is really good. They're able to limit the Padres, and it happens. Like I said, not going to panic here from the Padres' point of view. Game two, this was definitely the game the Padres could have won in the series. Really tough loss, and I mean, it was really the only close game. Padres dropped it 4-3 to the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs jumped out to an early lead on another Patrick Wisdom home run in the second inning. But Kyle Hendricks was absolutely cruising this game. The Padres really weren't putting together good at-bats. Then Victor Caratini came up in the fifth inning, worked a full count, and then as a former Chicago Cubs catcher, he's seen a lot of these guys before facing Kyle Hendricks, and he had a pitch, and he didn't miss it. Hit it 440 feet. Then Ryan Weathers added on a two-out single following that. And then Tommy Pham hit a home run on a hanging changeup. You know, good for Pham. Still is not hitting fastballs, but if you can hit off-speed pitches, that at least is going to help you if you can't hit fastballs. So that got the Padres the lead in the fifth inning, but they turned right around, and Ryan Weathers, I don't want to say it was a mistake pitch, but 0-2 to Wilson Contreras, a hitter who's not exactly the most disciplined hitter in all of baseball. And you throw him an 0-2 fastball at the top of the zone, and he hit a spot. So, I mean, personally, I think that's on Caratini, in my opinion. And Contreras didn't miss it. He also hit it far, 445 feet. And from that point on, no team scored another run. Like I've mentioned, the Cubs bullpen, really good, and they absolutely locked down the Padres in this game. Craig Kimbrel had one of the most dominant innings I can remember. I mean, he locked up Will Myers, and then I forget who else he struck out in the end. Jerickson Profar, and then Tucapito Marcano. I mean, they're just hot. I mean, I've said that multiple times so far on this podcast, but I think it's just what it comes down to. And tough loss, obviously. You know, scoring those 3 runs in the fifth inning, you definitely could have felt like Padres could have won that game, but they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, every single run in this game is scored on the long ball. We saw 4 home runs in this game total. And like you said, Padres only scoring in the fifth inning. We got to get some more runs early, get some more later. I know this bullpen has been super strong. And it's Kyle Hendricks, who's been struggling this year, but he's always been a tough guy to hit against. But Weathers didn't look great this game, allowed a lot of hits, 7 and 5 innings. Salmon looks good. Pagan looks good. But, I mean, again, not getting guys into scoring position, not getting a lot of guys on base. I mean, we had 7 hits in this game, but we're still not advancing them well. Only 2 at-bats with runners in scoring position, went 0-for-2 in those at-bats, left 5 guys on base. We just got to get more guys on base, more guys into scoring position. We saw Crony and Tatis both go 0-for-3, Hosmer 0-for-4. Machado had a good game here and going 2-for-4. Batting averages now after the last game, I mean, it's 139. He has been injured a little bit this year, so I'm not going to worry too much about him yet. But, I mean, just that batting just was not on this game. Of course, they get those 2 home runs in the fifth, but we got to get some more guys on base earlier, get some runs across the board earlier, and just set the momentum in the game.
Yep. And you mentioned that Craig Stammen looked good. I don't know if he looked good, but he was able to navigate and escape 2 jams that definitely could have put the Padres out of the game, and the Cubs could have easily won the game. And I tweeted Craig Stammen is the 8th wonder of the world. And, you know, he just keeps finding ways to get the job done. And that's all the Padres keep asking out of him. And he keeps delivering. All right, we stan Craig Stammen. In this house,
always.
Yes, yeah. You can't say always, but I can. I know where I stood on him, and I've just been incredibly proven right so far this season. So, Game 3, you know, this was a really weird game. Like, just watching it, you're like, what is going on? The Padres, they jumped out to a 1-0 lead on a Ha-Sung Kim single. It was a nice hit back up the middle. And unfortunately, that was the only run the Padres got, as they once again were limited. Denelson Lamet looked really good, and he got 0 help from the defense. Well, I guess Jake Kernaworth made a really nice play. Credit to Jake Kernaworth for making that play. But outside of that, defense in this game was horrid. It was awful. And the run they scored in the fourth inning, it was certainly a questionable one. I mean, Rizzo, he got a hit. And then he ended up moving up to third. Then he scored on a chopper that Eric Hosmer totally boofed. And I called it a poo-poo error on Twitter, making fun of him calling out Cassavell for calling him out, even though Cassavell was just literally quoting Bobby Dickerson, the Padres, basically fielding coach. He's the bench coach, but does a lot of work with the fielders. And it was pathetic. He had a really bad defensive game here. And then in the fifth inning, there were 2 runners on, and Anthony Rizzo hit a ball into the left center field gap off of Tim Hill, who came in for Pierce Johnson. And Profar almost ran it down. He made a great effort. He laid out for it. Unfortunately, wasn't able to get it. You know, if Mateo's out there, if Grisham's out there, ball's probably caught. Profar, unfortunately, wasn't able to get it. Grisham's on the injured list. Mateo wasn't left. I personally don't think that Mateo should be in left if Profar's in center. That just seems so backwards to me, because Profar's been so good in left. And Mateo is, according to Top Sprint Speed, the 2nd fastest player in the majors. So, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, you put the more speed in center field. None of them are traditional outfielders, but hey, he's fast. I'm not saying Mateo's a good center fielder, because I think that would be wrong to say, but I think he'd be better out there than Profar. And then in the 7th inning, Alcantara hit a ground ball down the first base line, and Eric Hosmer basically like fell out of the way and avoided it. Ended up being a triple. And then Jake Cronenworth couldn't transfer the ball. But I mean, Jake Cronenworth's made so many great plays so far in the season that, you know, you can't like criticize him too much. Ended up being ruled an error, which I think is correct. And then Javier Baez hit a 2-run home run. So Miguel Diaz got charged 2 earned runs. I mean, they were tough earned runs, but he still looked pretty good. And the Padres weren't able to score any runs off the Cubs bullpen. It was a hard game to watch. And we'll talk about the play where Ha-Sung Kim and Tommy Pham collided in a sec. But what were your other thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, this game, like you said, the defense just was not looking good. Saw that collision in left field, which we will get to in a sec. But I mean, Lamet looked phenomenal. I mean, four hits and a walk and four innings, only allowed one run and six Ks. If guys were getting on base, he was able to get out of it most of the time, only allowing that one run. But six Ks and four innings, his stuff was looking great. 72 pitches in those four innings, not bad. His ERA is now down to 2.5, which I love that for Lamet. With his workload hasn't been huge, either coming out of the bullpen, either that or doing smaller starts. I like it. I like what I'm seeing from him. Pierce Johnson did not look good. And I mean, he didn't get help either with the defense, but Miguel Diaz really struggled. He has been looking great this year. I have been loving what I've been seeing from Diaz. But he really struggled today later in the game, kind of just ended the game right there. We still could have had a chance to come back into it, of course. But, I mean, those runs in the seventh inning really hurt. Rizzo going 3-for-4 was huge for them. We had no guys with a multi-base hit game. Only had five hits in the entire game. So we really struggled. 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position this entire series. In the limited opportunities where we had guys in scoring position, we just couldn't bring them in most of the time. The hitting was not good as for the whole series. They've really been struggling. Defense wasn't good, and pitching wasn't great overall. I did love what I saw from Lamet, but it's a really tough series from the San Diego Padres right here.
It happens, and it was an ugly game. It sucked to watch, but you know they're going to happen. And now let's talk about that play. On left field, Eric Sogard hit a little blooper, and it was the second of the inning. And bases were loaded, and Tommy Pham was coming in. Hoslin Kim was going out. And, you know, Kim's been a good fielder. Tommy Pham has not been a good fielder. Tommy Pham got a bad jump on the ball. Hoslin Kim's going out. But you could clearly tell that Pham was calling off Hoslin Kim. And as the outfielder, you have the right of way. And you basically can call off the infielder because you're coming in and the infielder is going back. It's just naturally easier. You're taught that throughout your time playing baseball. And Hoslin Kim didn't hear or didn't understand that Tommy Pham was calling him off, continued to go after the ball. They collided. Hoslin Kim, they're saying, is avoiding a concussion. And Tommy Pham needed to get some stitches in his chin and is going to get an MRI when he gets back to San Diego either tonight or tomorrow morning. And to me, this play sucks. Like it's a baseball player's worst nightmare because it is so much harder than what people think it is. And everyone's like, oh, just call him off. Well, you're tracking the ball. And Wrigley is historically hard in the day to do those plays. Like the sun's right there. It's hard. We saw Hoslin Kim have trouble with the ball earlier. We saw Cronenworth have trouble with the ball. We saw a couple of Cubs players, you know, like last second making nice catches on some tough plays. And these guys collided. It sucks. But Hoslin Kim made a great play. You know, he was probably feeling it in his head. But he had the baseball awareness to pick up the ball and throw it into Manny Machado. Machado realized that the runners were going, stepped on third for a force out, and threw it to second and got the guy out there too. And because of that, the force outs, the runs don't count. So the run that would have scored on that play on what would have been a hit ended up not counting because it was the fielder's choice on the force play. And both guys had to come out of the game, both Pham and Kim. It sucked. And then afterwards, Pham was super irritated and was yelling at Dickerson, was yelling in the dugout. And I want to get your thoughts on it before I get mine.
Yeah, well, I do think Pham might have been a little aggro, but before we get to that, that ball is Pham's as the outfielder. You're coming in, as you said, you're calling it off. I once had a play like that, and I ended up actually breaking the second baseman's ankle on the play. And I know they both felt bad. I was in right. He was at second. And, I mean, it was a different play than what happened to the Padres. I had to lay out for it, and I ended up breaking the guy's ankle. And I felt awful after that. I felt awful. I ended his season. That just shows how tough of a play it is. And a lot of the time it ends in injuries. We've seen that happen a lot throughout baseball. But I mean, that's Pham's ball. He should be mad. I don't know if he went a little aggro in the dugout. Looked like he was very upset, but he does have the right to be. I mean, that's his ball. Kim, who has been a good fielder, he should. I mean, we don't know how well he heard Pham, but like you said, Pham said he was calling it off or calling calling his ball. And Kim didn't listen, and Pham should be mad because of Kim. Pham is going to be missing some time. They both might be. But Pham does have the right to be upset. He did look a little more upset than we would like to see. Needed to be held back, which you hate to see in the dugout. But he does have every right to be upset, and it sucks that he's going to miss some time because of that now.
It sucks. And I mean, seeing him yell in the dugout obviously was frustrating too, just because you don't like to see your players frustrated. You know, you want them to be happy, because when they're happy, they're doing their job the best. And obviously it sucked, but I honestly had no problem with it, because Pham has every right to be mad. I mean, Ha-Sung Kim needs to be aware that Pham's calling him off, and that when Pham's calling him off, Pham has the right of way, and he needs to do everything he can to get out of the way. But fortunately, Kim ended up making the play in a really weird way. But it was just weird. And Pham's mad because he cares, and because he wants to be healthy and he wants to help produce for the Padres. And he knows that play should be made traditionally. And I don't have a problem with it. I wish that he would have, maybe handled it a little bit better. But Pham cares. And that's the type of player that Tommy Pham is. He's that high motor guy who takes no crap. And when something's wrong, he calls it out. That's why Tommy Pham has never been on a team that has a winning percentage below like 550. Like he wins. That's all Tommy Pham does. And that's part of the reason why, is because when someone messes up or something's wrong, he'll call it out. And I think that was an important thing for him to do. And you'd like to see him handle it a little bit differently. He did get hit in the head. He's got to be frustrated with that. I hope that he didn't like take out any anger on Ha-Sung Kim, because Kim's a nice guy. You know, he just made an honest mistake. It happens. You know, it just wasn't the Padres' day, and it was a tough loss. And I mean, this kind of just combated the whole thing and making it the fourth straight loss for the Padres, and the first time this season they've lost four games.
Yeah, and I mean, even with this four-game losing streak, I mean, of course, there's a plus. You say this is the first time we've lost four games all year. I mean, we got swept by the Brewers. We was able to bounce back after that against the Dodgers. And I mean, we got a tough series coming up against the Mets. But, I mean, just got to get our momentum back. And, I mean, it's a tough series. It's Wrigley. The Cubs have been hot. Their bats have been hot after we saw earlier in the year. They did not look good at all. But the Cubs are back, and we just got them at a bad time.
So unlucky scheduling on what was already going to be a brutal schedule, getting them hot. So, yeah, let's do our Devil and Wildcat of the Week. Bobby, you are the Devil, and I am the Wildcat of the Week. And the Devil of the Week goes to a Padre who had a good week, and the Wildcat of the Week goes to a Padre who had a rough week. And, you know, we say what they've been doing wrong so they can possibly become the Devil of the Week. So, Bobby, who is your Devil of the Week?
So, yeah, my Devil of the Week is one guy who we have seen get a lot of Wildcats of the Week. Hopefully we'll see him as a Devil of the Week soon. And we both said, bet on that not happening. But here it is. My Devil of the Week is Tommy Pham. He went 11 for 30 the last 7 days, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, hitting leadoff a lot of the time, 4 walks, 18 total bases. He was really just hitting the ball well and seeing the ball well with a OPS of 1.041. So he was really looking good, slugging with 600. He was getting on base, hitting the ball, and that was huge to see from him. And this is from the last two series, of course, so the Astros and the Cubs. But even going back before that, in the four-game series against the Brewers, he ended that series with back-to-back two-hit games. Then against the Astros, started with back-to-back two-hit games. So we had 4 straight games with 2 hits. He had a, 7-game hit streak before this last game against the Cubs. So Tommy Pham was just really looking good. This was huge for this team. I know we weren't winning these games here in Chicago, but he was looking good, getting runs across, getting on base, and that's what matters. He was hitting the ball great, and I know that team should just be blown by fastballs on him, but they decided to pitch him off speed, which he can hit well. So Tommy Pham, I mean, we've been talking about it. and just waiting for him to have a hot week and have him be Devil of the Week. And it is my pleasure to announce Tony Pham as the Devil of the Week.
Yeah. I mean, I've obviously been a huge critic of Tommy Pham. I tweeted out during the Houston series, thank you, Tommy Pham, for proving me wrong. I'm still not sold that he's fully turned around just because he still doesn't hit fastballs. His home run off Valdez was a fastball. His home run off Hendricks was a changeup, though. I still want to see a little bit more from Tommy before I'm like fully on board. And obviously this collision with Kim is probably going to set him back, which sucks for Tommy Pham and for the Padres. But yeah, he definitely deserved to be Devil of the Week. And I wholeheartedly back up that decision. I'm going to go with Jake Cronenworth for my Wildcat of the Week. And this obviously sucks because Jake Cronenworth has been a fantastic player for the Padres so far this year. And when the Padres were going well, he was just killing it. But he's been pretty bad this past week. Only had 3 hits in the past 7 games. And I don't even think only one of them was for extra bases. He's only drawn 2 walks, which for Cronenworth is not a lot because he's a very disciplined hitter. He's only driven in 1 game. And Jake Cronenworth is hitting in the 3 hole. That's a problem. Now, I tweeted this in the beginning of the Houston series. There's no reason that Jake Cronenworth should be hitting in front of Fernando Tatis Jr. And he just keeps struggling, which Jake Cronenworth is going to be fine because he's a really good hitter. But at the same time, he struggled and he's going to figure it out. But in the meantime, he definitely needs to see a little bit of a lineup demotion and then the Padres will be good to go. What do you think about Jake Cronenworth as my Wildcat of the Week?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great pick. The thing I love to see about Cronenworth is he doesn't strike out a lot and he still wasn't a lot this week. Only 3 strikeouts in the last 6 games. So that was good to see there, but he just wasn't getting hits. I mean, he got unlucky, but he was putting the ball in play, but just wasn't turning it into hits. We've seen him. He's been hitting the 5 hole a lot, but he was higher up in the past 2 series. But yeah, he was really struggling. And I'm not worried about him at all. I mean, he's been looking great this year, but 3 for his last 25 is not good. And hopefully he can pick that up and fix that.
Yep. And, you know, he's part of the reason why the Padres lineup was really bad against the Cubs because they just couldn't get it going with anyone. And, you know, Cronenworth, who had been a big reason why the lineup was doing well, it was not doing well. So he'll figure it out, but it happens. All right. Before Bobby and I preview this upcoming series of the Mets, I'm going to bring on a fellow Walter Cronkite sports journalism student and Mets fan, Michael Garafa. So without further ado, let's bring him in. We now welcome in Michael Garafa, ASU Walter Cronkite journalism and mass communication sports journalism student and New York native and Mets fan. You're from New York, right?
Yes, yes.
There you go. He's no bandwagon. He's a legit Mets fan. And I have a lot of Mets fans, but I wanted to stick to our devil roots here on Devil's Talking Padres and bring on Michael. And I know that he knows a lot about his Mets. So here he is to talk about the Mets. How are you doing, Michael?
I'm very good. I'm doing well. How are you?
You know, I'm doing good. I just played 2.5 hours with a basketball, so I'm exhausted, but
I was going to say, I bet you're worn out.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. Let's talk about these Mets. They're actually in first place. They're I don't want to say they're playing like great baseball, but they're playing good enough to be in first place, which is all you can really ask for. What have the Mets been doing right to stay in first place?
Well, I would say that if any people in the world are going to play the lottery and win, it would be the players on the Mets right now. The luck that has been going through this team has been just unbelievable. I mean, the Mets have been historically some of the most unlucky teams I've ever watched play. But recently, luck has been on their side between having their 6th string center fielder managing to hit home runs. I mean, like it's been a magical stretch. And this last really 3 weeks has been the defining factor of what the Mets are, and it's been fun to watch
for sure. And I know that you guys picked up Billy McKinney, who had his fair share of killing the Padres, and that's the Brewers sweep over the Padres, and then he just fell off, and then now he's back with the Mets and killing it. So I'm afraid of what he's going to do to the Padres this upcoming series. But I want to talk about Francisco Lindor and James McCann, the two guys that they really were like the highlights of the Mets' really good offseason. You know, the two teams that won the offseason in the NL were the Padres and the Mets. And we know that those guys have been, you know, fairly disappointing so far, but they're playing their best baseball of the year right now. What have they been doing better this like past week and a half that's putting them in the right direction?
Well, for Lindor, this entire season has been up and down. It's been, you know, 1 week he's hot, 1 week he's cold. And it's really been more of 1 week he's hot, 3 weeks he's cold. I will say that for about the first month and a half of the season, you could tell that Lindor was just off by his swings. He would swing at pitches outside and he would almost fall over on his swings because he just wasn't balanced. But now he's starting to swing more like the Francisco Lindor of 2016, 2017, the one that would, you know, hit these monstrous home runs. He's making good swings and he's getting good contact. He's swinging at the right pitches. And yes, he's still striking out, but he's barreling up balls. You can hear it when it comes off the bat. I was in Arizona hearing the games and was there watching it myself for the series that they just had. And you could hear it. I mean, there's a clear difference off the bat when someone barrels it up and when someone misses it. And he's making good contact. And that's what's really important for him. And for James McCann, it's just, I honestly think that him playing first base was the difference for him. I think that kind of changing his rhythm, breaking his rhythm was a good thing. Normally keeping in a rhythm is good for a player, but in James McCann's case, I think that breaking that rhythm was all he needed. He broke out of it. Now he's finally hitting well, but he's another guy. I mean, it seemed he's all or nothing. He's either going to go 4 for 4, 5 for 5 with 2 homers and 6 RBIs, or he's going to go 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts. Like there's really no in between for him. But he's been having more of those 4 for 4 days than the 0 for 4 days recently. So definitely some positives. And both of them just seem like they're starting to break out. They've been more consistent lately than they have been all year.
It's good for the Mets. What's not good for the Mets is that they've been hit hard by the injury bug. No, Pete Alonso just came back from the injury list. I know that your guy, Kevin Pillar, who of course unfortunately got hit in the face by a pitch, he came back this week. I know that Jeff McNeil and Brandon Nimmo are on the injured list. Is there any chance, and Michael Conforto, is there any chance those guys come back for the series against the Padres?
No, there's actually not a chance that they come back till July. All of them are done for until July at the earliest. We've gotten updates with, we haven't heard anything about McNeil at all, which leads you to believe that he's at least a couple weeks away. JD Davis has tried swinging and still feels pain. He'll be out for a good couple more weeks. Nimmo can't even pick up a bat and not feel pain. He'll be out for a few weeks. Conforto is going to not even begin baseball activity till mid-June. And you know, everything else is just going wrong. Syndergaard shut down for 6 weeks. Carrasco is not going to be back for another month. It seems like everything that could possibly go wrong for the injuries for the Mets has.
Right. And the Padres are kind of in that spot right now too. So Padres fans will be able to relate to Mets fans in that aspect. Let's talk about the pitching staff. There's only 3 scheduled starters right now. So let's talk about those guys. Then we can talk about what Friday details. Taijuan Walker going on Thursday, Jacob deGrom going on Saturday. So, I mean, you could basically chalk that up as a low scoring game right there. And then Marcus Stroman going on Sunday. All 3 of those guys are having great seasons. What can you tell us about them?
I will say that those 3 have been quite honestly the best trio in baseball. No one's talking about them because of Jacob deGrom. Taijuan Walker has a 2.07 ERA this year, and Marcus Stroman has, I believe, like a 2.7 ERA. And obviously Jacob deGrom has a 0.71 ERA, which is the lowest ERA to this point in the season of any starting pitcher in baseball history. And it's not like he's just gotten lucky. He has just been phenomenal. The matchups in this series are going to be great. It's Taijuan Walker against Yu Darvish right tomorrow. Let me check that. Yeah, it's Taijuan Walker and Yu Darvish. And Taijuan Walker actually has a 1.8 ERA. His 2.1 was before his last start. And I mean, he's honestly been the most underrated guy in the bunch because he's just been dominant. I mean, he's going 6-7 innings every start. He's not giving up any hits. The second game of the series is going to be strange, but it's whoever it is against Blake Snell. But Snell's been pretty terrible too. Then you've got you've got DeGrom and Musgrove, and that's going to be a stellar game. Keep your eyes on that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, anytime Jacob DeGrom pitches, I'm pretty much counting it as a, you know, one run ball game for the opposing team. And then it'll be Marcus Stroman versus whoever the Padres throw out there. And well, Stroman's a very on and off pitcher, but he's been so good this year. He does well with guys that make soft contact and are, you know, swinging out of their shoes, guys. He does very well against power teams. That's what the Padres are. I think he'll do well there too. Taijuan Walker, I think, is going to be the only wild card in that series where I believe that DeGrom and Stroman are going to pitch great games. I'm worried about Taijuan Walker, a guy who's a pitch to contact kind of guy, but he's got a lot of good strikeout games. He's a fastball guy, power pitcher. The Padres are a power team. So it'll be a good matchup for the Padres, but I also think Taijuan will be able to handle it. But it's going to be a fun series for the pitchers, that's for sure.
And the Padres have also seen Taijuan Walker as he used to be a Arizona Diamondback. So, well, I mean, a lot of this team really wasn't a Padre while he was on the Diamondback. So I don't know if that's even true.
But it's also a very, very different Taijuan Walker. Let me tell you, the dude's throwing 97 this year when he never hit over 95 in his career. He's a very different pitcher this year. He's been special.
He's definitely a guy I wanted the Padres to go after this offseason. But then they went out and got Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, and Joe Musgrove. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, cool. So like we mentioned, the Friday starter from the Mets is not announced yet. I think it could be Joey Lucchese, which could be kind of fun. Anyone else that could possibly start this game on your mind?
Yeah, about 12. It's going to either be Joey Lucchese, which I would say right now is probably most probable, especially because it's San Diego. I would say Jordan Yamamoto. They might go with an opener, throw Miguel Castro out there, especially because Castro can't pitch tomorrow, so he can easily open on Friday. They can call up Thomas Zupucki, one of the Mets pitching prospects who has been who's on the taxi squad right now. But it's really, I don't know. It's going to depend on how tomorrow goes. I think if the Mets win tomorrow, you see Lucchese. I think if they lose, you see Castro. The Mets have kind of been riding the wave of, okay, well, when Lucchese pitches, we're probably going to lose. But he's been doing better lately. But I don't know. It's going to be one of those toss-ups that they're probably going to decide 2 hours before first pitch on Friday, like they've done with all of the times they've gone through that time in the rotation.
Joey Lucchese in 23 innings, a 6.56 ERA. So I definitely don't miss that. But
you know, his last two starts, let me tell you, have not gotten enough recognition. He went five innings of no hit ball, a few starts going last time through four innings and didn't give up a run either. So he's been better, but they're taking him out too early to let him kind of get comfortable. But his last two outings have been his only good outings of the year, and they've been pretty good. So
it's good for him. His starts were just annoying because he worked so slow and it's hard to watch. But yeah. And then you already mentioned the starting pitchers that the Padres got going. It's Darvish, Snell, Musgrove, and then Paddock is going on Sunday, which of course will be interesting because that'll be Paddock's third start against the Mets. And of course, we all remember, I don't want to say the rivalry, but because I mean,
Pete
pretty clearly like had the better rookie season, even though Paddock was really good. Talking about the bullpen, I mean, just looking at some of these numbers for these guys, they're pretty good. Edwin Diaz, he's up and down. There's times where he comes out and he just looks super dominant, and there's times where he comes out and he's Ed Luz Diaz. Miguel Castro is a guy who I knew was really good a couple of years ago because he was a beast in MLB The Show, and he was really good in last season, and the Mets traded for him to try and make a playoff push. But he's been really good for them this year. Trevor May signed as a free agent. Jurys Familia, he's had an up and down career, but he's back in like his peak form where he was when the Mets were in the World Series. Aaron Loop, crafty lefty, and Robert Gsellman, kind of like a long distance guy. If you want, is the Mets bullpen one of the strengths of the team, or is it, you know, just like, are these stats like a little deceiving?
No, the stats are actually the stats are deceiving. That's the interesting part, but they're actually deceiving because the Mets bullpen's the best part of their team. The Mets, I would say arguably right now, the Mets have a top five bullpen in baseball. I'm just going to roll through the guys that they have here because no one's talking about them. And I'm really disappointed that no one's talking about them because their stats are lying. Jacob Barnes is a 6 ERA, but I don't think he's given up a run in a month. Miguel Castro has been phenomenal. He has had a few rough outings, but he has been so good. Edwin Diaz, his ERA is way too high. The guy's pitching like he has a 1.5 ERA. He's had three games this year where he's given up a run. He just blew his first save yesterday since last September. He has been lights out. Familia has been really good lately, and I've been very impressed. Gazelman has been pitching really well when they need him to. Aaron Loop has been phenomenal out of the bullpen. He has been probably the most underrated arm in that bullpen. He's got a 2.57 ERA, and he's just, every time he comes in, he's getting everyone out. Lugo just came back today, pitched two really, really great innings. Really happy to have him back. Trevor May is the interesting one because he started poorly, was really good for a while, and the last three outings he's had have been really tough. He even said in a post-game press conference that he said that once a year he has a couple weeks, a two-week period where the hitters just seem to figure him out and he sucks for those 2 weeks and then it's done. And he said this is that period of the year, and unfortunately it comes at a bad time where now he has to face the Padres. But hopefully it doesn't bite the Mets in the butt. Then there's Drew Smith, who's the last guy in that bullpen, who I love Drew Smith, but they haven't really given him enough opportunities yet this year to get a full grasp on what he can do. I know he can be a really great pitcher. I've seen what he can do, but don't look at the Mets bullpen stats very much because they're lying, and they're lying in the opposite direction of what you would expect because they're actually pitching way better than their numbers are showing. This Mets bullpen has been pretty lights out, and it's been pretty special to watch. Mets went seven innings today from their bullpen and only gave up one run. And that's something I never said ever before.
Right. I mean, Mets are kind of like the Padres. When I think about them, it's kind of, not quite meeting expectations, and part of that's because of the bullpen. All right, Michael, one last thing. What are your expectations for this 4-game series against the Padres?
I mean, my expectations for everything that's been happening in the last month has gone the exact opposite. I don't know. It's a coin toss. It really is. I need to see the matchups every day of how the hitters hit against the opposing pitchers. You can look out for my predictions on Twitter. I'll be posting them every day. I mean, my predictions, I think I've been for the last like five games, I think the Mets have done the opposite of what my predictions have been. That just goes to show you how random and unpredictable the Mets have been lately, where I went from the beginning of the year predicting them about 50-50 correct, and now I'm at about like, 2 out of 10. So the Mets are right now, I really, normally I could tell you what I think, and if you ask me every day, I'll tell you what I think, but from right now, I don't know. The Mets, they may get swept. They may sweep. They may split the series. I really don't know at this point. It's going to be a fun series. That's for sure. Two teams that are hit by the injury bug that are definitely competing for some top spots in the National League. It's going to be a really fun series.
Yep. And they'll face off a week later in Queens. So they're going to get all seven games out of the way early. Michael, thank you for coming on to Devils Talking Padres. You guys can all find Michael on Twitter at Michael Garafa, at Michael, and then capital GARAFFA, host of the Running Bases podcast and owner of Who's Ready for Monster Jam on YouTube. Go ahead and follow him. Posts a lot about baseball. Him and I, we're amongst the few people at in our class that are like, baseball is king. And
yes,
it's a very tight knit community over there at our school. And we always have conversations about baseball. So thank you for coming on, and best of luck to your Mets. Hopefully no injuries for either side. That's all I ask for.
That would be a dream. Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right. That was my conversation I just had with Michael Garafa, Mets fan, and Walter Cronkite, School of Journalism and Mass Communication, sports journalism student. A lot of Mets insight there. So that was certainly cool. And Bobby, let's now preview this upcoming 4-game series with the New York Mets, as the Padres, they will actually face the Mets the following week after finally a day off, but they get them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to kick off the final homestand with limited capacity of Padres fans. What are your expectations for this 4-game series?
Yeah, the Mets, they came to this year with high expectations, and they've really delivered so far. Francisco Lindor is making a million more than Fernando Tatis Jr. is currently hitting .209 with a .617 OPS. He's really been struggling, .209 batting average, four home runs, He just has not been looking great. Pete Alonso has been having a solid year, hitting 250 with 7 home runs. We've seen him hit better before, but Nimmo's been looking really good. Jeff McNeil, I mean, he's had a step back than his past years. But I mean, there's a bunch of these guys who just not many of them are hitting over 300. Not a lot of no one in this lineup with double digit home runs, but they get the job done. Pete Alonso is leading the team at 24 RBIs. Dominic Smith is a fun guy to watch. But just, I mean, I wouldn't say the toughest lineup, but it's not an easy lineup, and they'll get you in a lot of different ways.
They're just a really good team. Their expectations coming in were pretty high, and I'd say so far they've met them, and they've gone through a lot of injuries and a lot of cancellations and whatnot between facing the Nationals week one, and then just seemingly, you know, every time there was a rain delay, it happened to be a Mets game in it. So they're coming into the series with a lot less games than the Padres played, but they're also in first place. Or I guess I shouldn't say also, because the Padres are now in second place in the division, which sucks because the Padres have been so good so far this year, but so have the Giants and so have the Dodgers. So that sucks. But, oh well, Mets coming in. Padres have their entire rotation scheduled for this upcoming series. Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, and Chris Paddock were announced by Jace Tingler postgame. So if you're looking on ESPN and you see Musgrove in front of Snell, that is incorrect. Snell is remaining in the two spot while Musgrove is in the three. What are your expectations for these four starting pitchers?
Yeah, I mean, Darvish really struggled in that last game. That's really been his only bad start of the year besides opening day. We've won 7 straight games that he's pitched in or that he started. I mean, only losing one start of his this year, and he went 7 innings, 1 run, 1 hit in that game. That was against the Dodgers, but we haven't lost more than one game with Yu Darvish starting. So he's been looking phenomenal. He'll totally bounce back. I'm not worried about him. Snell has had back-to-back pretty rough starts, not getting past the fourth inning in either of them. So he's really been struggling. And I know we've been talking about this a lot. His ERA is up to 5.55 now after that tough start against the Astros. But I mean, I don't want to say I'm not worried about him. I am. A lot of Padres fans are. He's really been struggling. And he's just not looking comfortable out there, not looking good. Musgrove for the third game. I mean, he came in relief in the last game. Another outing in Texas where he allowed no hits. He went 5 innings after coming in for relief. But 5 innings, the only base runner was on a hit by pitch. So that's, I believe, 14 innings in Texas with no hits this year. So it'll be nice to see him back out there starting, of course. And then with Chris Paddock, I mean, he struggled in that last start. But before that, he had four straight really good starts, really good appearances. So Paddock, I mean, I expect him to bounce back. It'll be huge if Paddock and Snell can both bounce back. Darvish, I mean, I'm not worried about him at all. He will totally just go back to his ace ways. Musgrove, if he can come back off that great relief appearance, that'd be huge. But got all of our top guys out here this series. Of course, I mean, Lamet is a top guy, but I mean, if we just get comfortable Snell out there, comfortable Paddock, I mean, this should be huge. That would be huge for the Padres.
I don't know what to expect because, I mean, you're getting Joe Musgrove off of a relief appearance. You're getting Blake Snell off his two worst starts of the season in a very long time. I mean, he has been awful in his past two starts, and hearing him talk about how, I'm in a good spot. You know, my pitchers are good when he's just not. It's very frustrating and hard to listen to, but whatever. So I don't know what to make of Blake Snell. I still think he's going to be fine, but it's very clear that the Blake Snell the Padres traded for has not showed up yet. And I don't know when he's going to show up, but the Padres need him to. As for the Mets starting rotation, they don't have a starter announced for Friday. On Thursday, it's going to be Taijuan Walker, who's off to a great start. You get Jacob DeGrom on Saturday, who's obviously the best pitcher in baseball and is just off to such a good start. I mean, a 0.71 ERA in 51 innings with 82 strikeouts. I mean, the numbers this dude is putting up are just absolutely unreal. The Padres have had pretty good success against DeGrom in the past, though. So you never know what could happen. And the Padres are going to be one of the best lineups he's faced so far in the year. So you never know what could happen there. And then on Sunday, you're getting Marcus Stroman, who is off to a very good start on the year as well. A 2.66 ERA with a 64 innings pitched. And Taiwan Walker, a 1.84 ERA and 49 innings pitched. He doesn't work deep into games, but he gives you really quality innings. He's what the Padres want Blake Snell to be. So, yeah. What do you make of the pitchers that the Mets are throwing out there?
We really struggled on offense against the Cubs, and we knew going against Woodruff and Burns back-to-back, which we've done twice this year, would be really tough. Padres only won one of those four games. But seeing Walker, DeGrom, and Stroman back or three out of four games, that's going to be really tough. Walker's only had one bad start this year, and team ended up getting the win. He went six innings, four runs, and this was just over a month ago on May 1st. But that's his only start this year where he's allowed more than two earned runs. So he's been looking really good this year. DeGrom, I mean, pretty much went over it. Best pitcher in baseball. He's been looking phenomenal this year, just coming back. He's also been hitting very well, which caught me off guard. But he's been, I mean, that's going to be a really, really tough matchup against Jacob DeGrom. Best pitcher in baseball. If we don't win that game, I will not be mad at all. I mean, it's DeGrom. It's going to be tough. And Stroman, the 2.66 ERA so far this year, he's been looking really good. But just three-headed monster of these guys. I mean, it's tough. And, of course, no Syndergaard, as there has not been all year. But this will be tough matchup for the entire Padres lineup.
And he won't be. Syndergaard's not going to pitch for them.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah, I know. I had to mention Syndergaard with these three guys, and then crazy three-headed monster, and Syndergaard's not there and will not be. Thank you for that. But this will be really tough for the Padres. This will be a tough series against the New York Mets, who are in first place. And this will be really hard matchup against this entire pitching rotation.
Right. And I was looking at it, and it seems like the starter on Friday, or maybe not the starter, but the guy who comes in as not the opener, could be Joey Lucchese. So that could be pretty interesting. So that would be a fun game for Padres fans to be at. And it looks like Zach Davies is also going to pitch in the upcoming series against the Cubs. So I think that would be cool, getting a couple of reunions for former Padres starting pitchers here. But it's going to be tough going up against these guys. They've got a very good starting rotation. And like you mentioned, Syndergaard could come back, could not. I'd imagine he doesn't. And even if he does, coming off Tommy John surgery, I mean, it's just hard to depend on guys like that. They also have in the works Carlos Carrasco coming back, which is, I think, a much bigger and much better pitcher for the 2021 season. So they're good. I mean, they're a really good team, and some of their guys in the lineup have significantly underperformed. So they're still waiting on those guys, and it's going to be a fun series. I mean, these are two of the top teams in all baseball going at it, and they're going to go at it in seven of the next 10 games. So I'm really curious to see how the series goes for the Padres and how they're going to bounce back from losing four straight games for the first time this season.
Yeah, this will be huge next 2 weeks for the Padres. Tough matchups. Of course, we just finished the Cubs series. As I mentioned earlier, Cubs-Mets. So two first-place teams that we got to play four straight series again. So this will be a great matchup between us and the New York Mets. But, I mean, a little scared. But if we can salvage a split, won't be mad. If we can win the series, of course, that'd be great.
All I'm asking for is a series split against the Mets. I mean, they're a good team, and right now they're playing a little bit better baseball than the Padres. So a split, I agree, would be pretty good. All right. You got anything else you want to add before we wrap this up, Bobby?
Just got to get back on a winning streak. Glad to be back as always on DTP, and go Padres.
Yes. It was good to have you back, Bobby. And that's going to wrap up this episode of Devils Talking Padres. Thank you to Michael Garaffa for coming on to this episode of Devils Talking Padres and talking about his New York Mets. We wish them the best of luck. We hope that no team suffers any injuries and whatever happens on the field happens. Make sure to follow Bobby and I on Twitter. You can find me at DMStern19. You can find Bobby Murphy at BobbyMurphy2000. a lot of Suns tweets right now from Bobby, but some Padres tweets as well. Make sure to read all of our content at eastvillagetimes.com, as this is an East Village Times podcast. And with that, thank you for tuning in. We will come back to you Sunday night/Monday morning for another episode of Devils Talking Padres. Thanks for tuning in.